Comics.
Movies.
Music.
Video games.
Technology.
Blu-ray.
Television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is
Abe. What's up?
Out Now is a film podcast, which is Abe and I discussing new movies weekly. We also bring in the discussion about latest movie trailers, box office results and predictions, a callback to past films similar to the main film of the week, games and other fun stuff. This is episode 68, and the main film of the week we're discussing is Total Recall, the new remake of the 1990 Paul Verhoeven Total Recall, the new one starring Colin Farrell and directed by Len Wiseman. And joining us to discuss Total Recall, we have writer for the VHS Diaries, Mr. DVD himself, the three-breasted Alan Aguilera.
How did you know about my third breast?
Me and Scaramanga talk behind your back. Bond joke. Writer for, also with us, writer for Damn Dirty Blog, and the man who at one time had his eyes burst out of his skull due to a lack of air, Jordan Grout.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Welcome, Jordan.
Great to have you guys. Great to have both of you. Always. It always is. Let's get into this. I got some announcements here. First up, Step Up. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to bring up Step Up again because we haven't done so much already in the past few weeks. Last week, we had a dual dose of Step Up episodes related to the Out Now podcast. The first one was our Step Up Revolution episode with comedian Christian Spicer. And that was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. We got some good responses on that one.
Yeah, we did. It was a quite popular episode. Also, we made podcasting history 2 days later when we released our Step Up commentary. And for those who may have skipped that for whatever reason, probably because it was called Step Up Commentary, Jordan, Abe, or not Abe.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Jordan, Alan, myself, and of course, Tall Ken, we all watched all the three first Step Up movies simultaneously in different locations and recorded one master commentary. So that's out right now. That's podcasting history made. So if you want to be a part of history, go check out that barrel of fun that we made. So, which was not an easy thing to do, by the way. Also, we had some difficulty recording that episode. But yeah, that's out there. So there.
That was more about coulda instead of shoulda.
Exactly. But we did-a, that's for sure. Yeah. So let's see. What else we have? iTunes reviews and ratings. Always good to get those. Happy to have those. How it helps out the show. Easy to do. Log in iTunes. Takes a couple seconds. Give a star rating to our shows. Maybe even a sentence. Helps everything out. It's cool to be, you know, welcome to have. What else? We have a new... Oh, I have a contest. We have a Total Recall contest. Of course, with this new Total Recall coming out, what better thing to do than have a contest related to Total Recall in some way? So, I have a DVD copy of Total Recall, the original 1990 Total Recall of Arnold Schwarzenegger, on Blu-ray. And Blu-ray copy of it.
Blu-ray.
So, here... Yeah, I know. Just giving away the big prizes. That's how I roll. here is the contest. All you have
are guests eligible?
Guests are not eligible, nor are previous winners of contests that we've had.
Well, thank you guys. I'll see you later.
Okay. But the contest is incredibly simple for those who want to participate that haven't won something in the past from us already. It is just name your favorite Philip K. Dick adaptation. Philip K. Dick, of course, wrote the original story that's Total Recall is based on. And there have been several movies that have been based on works by Philip K. Dick, including Blade Runner, Total Recall, of course, Screamers, Imposter, Minority Report, Paycheck. Whoever has Paycheck as an answer is hilarious to me. Scanner Darkly, Next. Same thing applies to Next. And the Adjustment Bureau, and of course, this new Total Recall. So, you know, anyone, you know, that wants to write in what their favorite Philip K. Dick adaptation was, and maybe, I don't know, a sentence why would be helpful as well. You know, you could win a copy of Total Recall on Blu-ray. So, very simple to do. You know, outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Write in, and you know, you could possibly win. Sounds like a good contest,
right? You have a strong chance of winning, actually, if you write in. Yeah, so write in as soon as you can.
Okay.
I'm trying to raise the stakes right here, Jordan. Round the cattle. Right, so
let's get into it. Let's get into it. Let's get to know everybody. Where each week we ask each other a few questions to kind of set the tone for the podcast. We better get to know everybody. So let's
Alan, if you could choose to be in the United Federation of Britain or be Asian in the colony, which would you choose?
Oh, the Asian in the colony.
You're not Alan.
Hands down. I mean, come on. Did you see the movie? They were awesome.
I like how Alan is on Jordan. I think we should go the rest of the show that way.
I'm so happy.
So who asked the next question? Would it be Jordan?
Yeah, it'd be Jordan.
Because it'd be Jordan then.
Okay, well, let me go.
Okay.
So, Jordan, do you think that it's a coincidence that the Curiosity Mars rover landed on Mars the opening weekend of Total Recall, or do you think NASA knew that this remake was not going to be on Mars?
Oh, they knew. However, I hope they find the $200 million that John Carter lost.
On Mars.
On Mars. Okay. Abe.
Yeah.
What film would you like to see remade? Any film?
Good question.
If I could interject, I would say Total Recall again, but we can get to that later.
We will. But I was thinking.
I have one. Yeah, can I try it?
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens. That's a good premise. They could have fixed that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
How hilarious would it be if they actually remade a film that just flopped like a year ago? And they're like, here's the remake.
Just something you forgot that it was made.
It's not a sequel. It has no one involved with the original. It's just a direct, it's just a straight up remake.
Isn't that what they did with Punisher Warzone?
No, that's like a tech. I mean,
no, it's not.
It's done the same way Incredible Hulk is, where it's like, it's not like a direct sequel, but it's not necessarily completely distanced from the original either. It's just kind of like skipping ahead.
Aaron, if your wife was in a movie that you were directing, how many ass shots would you have of her?
Yeah, Kate Beckinsale looked quite attractive in this movie for having her husband directing her. Let's see. How many? I think six is a good number. Alan, what Philip K. Dick adaptation would you like to have seen Arnold star in?
Narnia? No, I don't think he really work in much of anything else. I wouldn't want to see him as...
You wouldn't want to see him in Scanner Darkly as Keanu Reeves' character?
I want to... Who's the female lead in Scanner Darkly? Was it Winona?
Winona, yeah.
Yeah, I want Arnold in that role.
I'm just picturing like how big the rotoscoping would be on Arnold versus everyone else in that movie.
Okay, Abe.
Yes.
Are you more upset that Arnold didn't make a cameo in this, or that Sharon Stone didn't make a cameo in the new Total Recall film?
As the three breasts.
That would have been saggy breasts.
Her head was one of the breasts. That would have been delightful. The third breast was a picture of Sharon Stone's face.
I'm glad that Arnold didn't make a cameo in this. Although it would have been cool to see like Michael Ironside.
See, that would have been cool.
But if between the two, I'd probably want to see Sharon Stone in it, because Arnold would just be like ridiculous over the top. Then I guess we'll get to an Ethan Hawke segment later.
Like, how cool would it have been if like Michael Ironside was just the same role as
that's what I was thinking too. Yeah, like, oh, that'd be awesome. He just like comes up, he's like, oh, it's Michael Ironside being Michael Ironside from Total Recall.
This is for everyone. In general, what do you think of remakes? Are you against them? Do you not mind them? Are you indifferent?
I don't mind them if the idea is right. Like, I thought Total Recall is a good idea for a remake. That's a good story. It's a good premise, and you know, technology's changed and stuff. So I figured it'd be a good candidate for movies that could be remade. And that goes the same with any movie that I like the premise of in general. I'm like, yeah, I can see that story being told again in a different way with some fresh blood or what have you. And there's been good examples of that. I think like Colin Farrell in last year's remake of Fright Night was a good example of that.
I honestly, just like Aaron, I really don't. I think people overreact when they announce they're going to remake a certain film. I just would rather they remake either films that are dated or remake films that aren't good. And they could remake it and make it something better.
Yeah.
I don't want them to remake classic films like Casablanca or Citizen Kane or anything, but The Maltese Falcon is a remake.
Right.
And it worked out great.
Ben-Hur is a remake.
What's that?
Ben-Hur is a remake.
Yeah. Every like...
Hitchcock's remade a lot of his own movies.
It happens.
That's a great
Evil movie. Dead 2 is a remake of Evil Dead.
Army of Darkness remakes like the first two in the first like opening minutes.
Yeah, so...
Ocean's 11 is a fantastic remake. It's because the original's not very good.
It's really dated, too.
It is. And like this is a bad example, but Clash of the Titans was a good idea for a remake, just because I'd like the idea of remaking Clash of the Titans. It just didn't turn out that well, even though it has a sequel.
And Black Dynamite was a remake of Mississippi Burning, and that worked out great.
God. You're right. I could see the boom mics in both those movies.
And you know, Driving Miss Daisy was remade as Mark Hoban's favorite film, The Untouchables. So that's fine.
Right.
That's right. I'm insulting a guest that's not on our show this week. He'll listen to us and send us an angry email.
And they recently remade Precious, and they called it Hannah just to kind of go for that other market. It worked out.
And that's the end of No, everybody. So let's move on now to our movie trailer talk, where each week we discuss a couple of the latest movie trailers. And this week we got a few new ones, including, let's just start off with this really cool one, Skyfall, the new James Bond movie that comes out in November. Finally got a new actual trailer for all to see, and not just people that got like exclusive IMAX looks at the film. And yeah, this is the new James Bond movie. This is the second like trailer, like the full trailer, so you actually see kind of more stuff going on. And all I can say is, my God, this, I want this now. But let's ask you guys, what do you think?
Well, I like the trailer. I like the initial teaser because it kind of set up the mood and the atmosphere. And I think this one kind of really, really broadens the horizon from that first teaser. And you're starting to understand more. I think Javier Bardem looks different and menacing. And the way he looks is just unsettling. And I think that's what they were going for. So I think he might be a good foible for Daniel Craig as James Bond. And I really like Daniel Craig as James Bond. He looked like a BAMF. I'm not gonna lie. There's in the trailer when he jumps into the train and like he fixes his cuffs. I'm like, good job. Good job. I get it. That's awesome. But no, I really liked it. What about you, Alan?
Oh man. Opening night, I'm there. I love the exchange between Bond and Javier Bardem. Like I think their little banter, like back and forth, will be some of like the best scenes in the movie. Which, you know, I feel is pretty obvious. I love the director, what's his name? Sam Mendes. I think it's a vast improvement from the last Bond film, which I wasn't a fan of.
Wait, would you say that Javier Bardem looks Mendes-ing?
No.
Sorry.
Your call should cut out again. No, I'm kidding. No, it looks great. I think they're going in a great direction with this series in the past 5-6 years when it began again. And I hope it continues.
Abe? I think that you're given more of a greater scope of what's going on, because in the teaser, I like the teaser too, but I wasn't sure why Ralph Fiennes was there. So now you're going to given a better understanding. And it's pretty cool, you know, it seems as though it's Bond and his boss against everyone who's trying to gun him down. So, you know, it looks pretty intense. I really like that cufflink scene as well. It just shows you how badass he is. But yeah, I'm excited. It actually was one of those trailers I was like, oh wow, some goosebumps there.
Yeah, the best thing I can say about this trailer is that it looks like a Bond movie, which is something that I was annoyed with Quantum of Solace, because it was too much like a Bourne movie. And I like Bourne movies, but I like seeing Bourne in them, not, you know, James Bond. I like seeing James Bond in James Bond movies. So the idea of like, you have Javier Bardem looks like a Bond villain. He has like crazy blonde hair, like freaking Christopher Walken and A View to a Kill, let alone just all these, like, you have Q's back finally, you have like these, you just have things, it looks like things going on that are like very Bond, like you have the music's playing for one thing, which is awesome, but you have Bond doing Bond things where it's like he's acting cool in the midst of action, where yeah, exactly, the he jumps into the train and, you know, fixes his cufflink, like it's just cool stuff like that where it's not like gritty precision, it's like it's Bond style stuff, and it's that makes me excited. And yeah, the movie looks gorgeous from with Sam Mendes in the director's chair, and you know, he makes the cinematography in his movies is always just really, really good looking. So many reasons why I'm looking forward to this new Bond movie. And it just, yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
But did it in IMAX? Do you know?
It's not shot in IMAX, but I just know it's in IMAX. But it didn't use IMAX cameras.
Like, I'm a big fan of Sam Mendes, but, you know, I'm really upset with the lack of shouting in this movie.
I was upset with the lack of Kanye West in the trailer, but that's fine. That's, I make Jarhead jokes now. That's what I do, apparently. But Skyfall comes out November 9th, 2012. And, yeah, the next trailer we have is Killing Them Softly. This is the new film starring Brad Pitt and a lot of people, actually. James Gandolfini, Sam Shepard, Ray Liotta, The Dark Knight Rises, Ben Mendelsohn, Richard Jenkins, just a whole bunch of people. And it's from director Andrew Dominik, who did The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
And, you know, for this being a biopic on the Fugees, there's really a lack of black people in this.
I was going to say that. Yeah, but this is, looks like it's going to be like a kind of a dark comedy, put it softly. But it looks like an action movie, but it's got kind of like, it looks like it has like a kind of dark humor to it about this guy who's a professional enforcer, and he kind of goes into investigating like a heist kind of thing that went down during some mob activities. And the assassination of Jesse James, that was actually, have you guys seen that movie?
Oh yeah.
I have. Nah. I love it.
You love that movie? Jordan, you like that movie?
Oh, I love it. Yeah. It's one of my favorite films of all time, actually.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I like the movie. I want to see it again because it's certainly a fantastic looking film, that's for sure too. But it has really strong performances in it. But this one, it's a bit of a departure in terms of tone as opposed to that one, which is very kind of deliberate and paced and has very cold kind of performances. This one looks a little more high spirited. So you know, I'm looking forward to checking it out. But what do you guys think of the trailer?
Oh, I really. The first time I saw it was this morning, and I've been excited for this film when it was announced that Brad Pitt and Andrew Dominik, right?
Yeah.
And they got back. I mess up names all the time. I was excited that they were teaming up again because I really, really liked Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. He always pulls really good performances out of his actors. He assembled this fantastic cast, even though James Gandolfini and Ray Liotta playing mobsters isn't that much of a stretch, but I'll go with it. But it looks like a really, really good kind of crime film, and I'm really excited about it. One thing I will say is that if Daniel Day-Lewis didn't do There Will Be Blood in 2007, I think Casey Affleck would have won that Oscar for Assassination of Jesse James. But that's just me. And if he can pull off a great performance out of Casey Affleck, I think the cast he assembled for this will be perfect.
Jordan?
Have you guys seen Chopper?
I have not seen Chopper yet.
But I heard it was good. Very good.
Yeah, it's another great film. But like once again, it's really dark. And it's great to see this almost like dark comedy that he's done here. And I mean, pretty much anything with Sam Shepard and Ray Liotta, I'll go watch. Like, those two actors equals my ass in the seat.
I just have to add this. I'm looking at the it was Javier Bardem won for supporting role over Casey Affleck in The Assassination of Jesse James.
Oh. Yeah, I'm one of the few camp where it was Casey Affleck's movie and him being a supporting actor is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think it's absolutely ridiculous.
That said, Javier Bardem, very good at No Country for Old Men.
It's terrifying.
Oh yeah, no.
This is a strong category that year, actually. Looking at it right now, Assassination.
No, 2007, I can go on record for this. 2007 is the last great year for movies. Because he had Zodiac, There Will Be Blood, Gone Baby Gone, Assassination, Jesse James, No Country for Old Men.
Michael Clayton. Eastern Promises, yeah.
Sunshine, Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd. What else?
Here's a Who.
No. Even Transformers. I'm still a big fan of the first Transformers. Into the Wild came out that year.
The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
The Orphanage. I really liked that year. It's a good year.
It was a strong year.
3:10 to Yuma.
Yeah.
Born Ultimatum. Let's just do our retro 2007 commentary episode. Abe?
I'm here for 3 hours, Abe. Aaron.
No, the trailer looks actually really cool. Brad Pitt looks like he's playing a cool guy. Looks like what you had said, you know, dark comedy stuff. It looks also intensely violent, but in a very stylish way. I got some like mobster film vibes from Scorsese and stuff like that too. But yeah, man, I'm actually kind of excited for this one too. So this is actually a good weekend for trailers.
Yeah, cool.
Do you think there's going to be a lot of backlash with the public towards this film, with all the incidents that have been going on recently? And it seems so many people are
not as much so as there was for the friggin' for Gangster Squad, which has now been moved from its original September October date all the way to next January. Yeah. Which makes me wonder if they're going to move it that far. Do they even need to the plan was this has to do with the Aurora shootings, obviously, and there's of course a scene in that trailer where people emerge from behind a screen, machine guns blasting at an audience, which obviously kind of sets off people that just recently had something like that happen in real life, and so they're thinking maybe we should the Warner Brothers thing, we should reshoot scenes to kind of get around that. But now because they don't have the time, they're going to push it back to January. So I'm thinking, do you even need to reshoot scenes at that point? Like, is it going to be like, if I was in charge of this movie, I wouldn't want to reshoot scenes to begin with, just because that's a whole different debate. But I mean, if you move the movie completely where it's not even like in relevance anymore, the occurrence that happened, like, is there a need to reshoot this? I don't know.
That when Colors came out in '88, people were freaking out because it was a lot of gang-related violence when that movie came out. I remember because my mom was like, "Oh, I can't take him to go see Problem Child." But I think by the time it comes out in January, I don't think it'll have much to do with it for Gangster Squad. And honestly, Americans love their violence, so I don't think this film is really going to be affected by it or not. It all depends what the word of mouth is on it.
Yeah,
like violence is violence; it won't matter.
All right. Well, yeah.
Alan Aguilera, conversation killer.
Just another note: the poster for the movie is outstanding.
For Killing Her Softly.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best posters I've seen all year.
Have you seen the imposter poster?
The imposter poster is pretty cool. Yeah. It's a sweet poster.
I'm not being sarcastic. That was cool.
It's a sweet poster.
No.
But I'll talk about Imposter when we talk about Total Recall. But anyway, the Killing Them Softly comes out October 19th, 2012, and I'm looking forward to that one. Next up, because we're doing three today, because I'm like, I saw this, and like, we have to talk about this. This is The Dark Knight Returns. This is the animated adaptation of the possibly Batman's greatest comic story ever written by Frank Miller. Dark Knight Returns, which is only part one. They've divided it up into two parts, and it's direct to Blu-ray release, Blu-ray DVD release, and we don't normally kind of talk about these kind of trailers, but it is Batman, and it is The Dark Knight Returns, so I figured, why not? Because I was into this, and just to go into a little more, I mean, I love that story. That maybe is my favorite Batman story ever. I have to think about it maybe, but probably would be certainly top three. And seeing this adapted into a kind of an animated film, that's exciting to me. And from the look of it too, as opposed to like Batman Year One, which I like, but felt like it was almost a motion comic just because of it was kind of a direct translation to screen as opposed to kind of making it your own while adapting that story. I think Dark Knight Returns, it looks really good. It looks like, but it also looks like it has its own kind of, it doesn't look like a direct copy of panel to page necessarily, even though it has a lot of signature moments that people would recognize from that comic book. But Alan, what do you think?
It looks good. Honestly, it looks kind of cheap. Like, the animation looks really cheap to me. Like, when they're moving and when the mutants are talking to, like... The thing with DC is that I love the stories they do with... And the attention to detail and the attention and love that they have for the DC properties that they have with their animation field. It's just the animation doesn't look great all the time. Because I think they put it out at such a velocity that they can't really just slow it down and make it look more fluid in motion. Like, it looks like a motion comic again, just like Batman Year One. Like, it looks really cool. The fact that Peter Weller is Batman is really exciting to me. But I'm excited for it. I see all of them. I'm not like, oh my god, there's Dark Knight Returns! But, oh cool, they did Dark Knight Returns. That's cool, I'll watch that too.
The animation to me, it reminded me a lot of Batman the Animated Series, which is kind of what got me excited for it, because I was just like, this looks
kind
of old. Yeah, I got that kind of vibe from it, where I was like, this looks like, gives me an animated series vibe.
I just don't think it's as fluid as that was my problem. Like, motion, it looked, because I was watching Live Before Time 2 today, don't ask, it looked like the same kind of directed video kind of cheapness that you saw from the 90s.
Okay, well, you can say don't ask, but we're going to ask, why were you watching Land Before Time 2 today?
Well, after I got home from work, my nephews wanted to watch a movie, and that's what they picked. And I was like, great.
Okay.
when does Breaking Bad start?
Abe?
I like the animated films just primarily because they can focus a little bit more and then do a little bit more, I guess, quote-unquote outlandish stuff with the characters in terms of just grappling over a building or whatever else. The main villain in this, I'm not too familiar with. I guess it's some kind of mutant.
The Dark Knight Returns, there's a gang that's known as the Mutants, so there's like a head of that gang, but there's also other classic Batman characters in this story as well.
He reminded me of like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon, because he looks wrinkly. But no, I actually think that it's going to be one of those films that you could really enjoy because it could be dark, and I think that's the thing I appreciate the most about it, is that doesn't have to necessarily be happy and floaty and warm. It could turn into these corners where, you know, they deal with other issues that are not child friendly, or I guess they necessarily don't have to put in that comfort for an audience that is 12 and under. So I appreciate that aspect of it.
Jordan?
I haven't seen too many of these straight to DVD animated films. I saw the Under the Red Hood, and that was decent. This looks okay. I'm not gonna rush out and buy it when it's released that Tuesday, but I'll catch it, you know, eventually, probably on Netflix. But Peter Weller's a big plus.
Yeah. The Batman: The Dark Knight Returns Part One comes out September 25th, 2012 on a straight to Blu-ray and DVD. And I guess that's gonna do it for our trailer talk this week. So now we're going to move straight into our review for Total Recall.
You have another nightmare?
Yeah.
Are you actually happy with how your life's turned out?
What the hell shouldn't I be?
What do you know about this recall place?
Stay away from them. Don't mess with your mind, man.
Tell us your fantasy. We'll give you the memory.
Mistake. Nobody.
Oh my God. Why are you trying to kill me?
Your memory was replaced. Your mind was implanted with a life you think you've lived.
Our marriage.
What can I say? I give good wife.
All right, so that should have been some of the trailer for Total Recall, and this is, of course, the remake of the 1990 Total Recall, which starred Arnold Schwarzenegger. This time we have Colin Farrell in the adaptation from a Philip K. Dick's novel. What is it? We can remember it for you wholesale. And this involves Colin Farrell as. Well, no, I gotta set up this whole future we have first, right, guys? Oh my God, because this is important. So the year is 2084. The world has become, because of chemical warfare, the world has basically become uninhabitable except for two places on the entire world. One is the United Federation of Britain, which is basically England, and the other is the colony, which was used to be Australia, which looks a lot like Shanghai. And the only way to get to and fro those two places left in the world is through a method called the Fall, which takes you through a giant tunnel that goes through the core, through the earth. It goes all the way from one side of the earth to the other. It's hard to keep a straight face while saying this, so people travel from one end to the other, and so like people from the colony, which is kind of like the 99%, they travel to the 1%, which is Britain, so they can work for the day and then, you know, travel back. It only takes like 17 minutes to do this, of course.
It sounds plausible so far.
Yeah, it does. Because you can spend money to like build a giant tunnel that goes through the earth, but you can't figure out a way to make the rest of the earth habitable again. Anyway, Colin Farrell, he's a random worker in a robot factory. Oh, this is so bad. Colin Farrell works at a robot factory, but he has terrible nightmares at night about some mysterious other life that he thinks he may have had, just because it's like, why do I have such vivid memories of me and Jessica Biel fighting against people? But he goes to this place because he's not content with his life as a lowly robot construction worker / husband to Kate Beckinsale. He goes to a place called Recall, which can implant memories, like false memories of like amazing vacations that you never actually had. But upon going to recall, he kind of sets off alarms, and everyone's like, wait a minute, you're not who you say you are. And it turns out that apparently Colin Farrell used to be a secret spy person. But he's, of course, doesn't have the memory of being a spy person. So, secret agents, whatever. So, now he kind of goes on the run, because apparently his wife's not really his wife, but an agent looking to track him down and or try to keep him under control. But now that's failed. So, Colin Farrell is now basically on the run for his life because everyone's trying to get after him. Of course, Jessica Biel comes along as a past friend of his and tries to take him back to the rebels, who are secretly hoping to make the colony equal with the I don't really know why. There's no Mars here, so it gets confusing for me. But yeah, chase, hijinks ensue, right? So let's just get to it. Abe, what do you think of Total Recall?
I didn't really like Total Recall at all. I think everything besides the dialogue was okay, which is to say, like, the action sequences are okay, and the dialogue and the story was really bad, and I found that to be really bad, mostly because there's largely no consequence in anything that happens. And there's an example that I want to bring up, which is just Bill Nighy shows up, and then he exits, and there's no consequence to that. There's no real reason for that either. And then there's also John Cho shows up, and then he leaves. And then his buddy Harry is there, and there's no consequence to him and his exit. And there's, like, the opportunity Asian guy who gives him this card, who's just there with a name, and there's no consequence to him either. So I really didn't really like this movie. I especially hated the last third of it, where I didn't understand anything that was going on. I just knew that there was a lot of action sequences. But the story got really confusing for me there. I was able to follow it pretty closely, and for at least, like, the first hour. But even in the first hour, I was thinking to myself, wait, what's the problem here? What is, like, the whole entire reason that they're doing this? And I know that it's because he's you know, having these weird delusions or dreams and reality problems of a secret spy, but where are they driving? What are they getting at? And, you know, none of that really gets resolved. So, overall, it might be aight, but I really didn't like this movie, besides the action sequences.
Alan?
It was expensive. It looked really expensive. I was watching going, that looks really expensive. So, yeah, Jordan?
I loved it. I think it's, like, that's the best movie of the year. I
mean, hands down? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, the music, the writing, the acting, the action. It's so, it made me cry. It's,
oh, my God, so yeah.
Honestly, the one-liners were fantastic.
I know people are saying that they cried during Beasts of the Southern Wild and how that's, like, the best movie. Whatever. Screw those guys. It's all about Total Recall.
I guess this is a good point for me to point out that Jordan has not
seen it. Yeah, I was going to read that it myself.
So if I could interject here with my thoughts on the film, yeah, it certainly looks expensive. And, oh my God, this movie, I'm going worse than Abe on this one, because it's just, every time I think about Total Recall, it gets worse in my mind. It's just, it feels less like we have a good idea for making this movie, more like, hey, we have a bunch of money lying around. Where's the dartboard? Let's get out our idea book. And they just threw it in. It's like, oh, Total Recall, let's do that! Because there's very little imagination going on in this movie, which is surprising given that it's a big sci-fi action blockbuster film. Yet Len Wiseman, you know, he comes from like the school of with like Paul W.S. Anderson, where it's all like fancy production design and nothing in way of, you know, substance or anything, you know, that seems original, because this movie seems to crib from so many other sci-fi movies and TV shows like Firefly, Blade Runner, Minority Report,
iRobot.
Once
you mentioned the Philip K. Dick thing, I was like, oh, okay, I understand.
Yeah. And he also apparently shares J.J. Abrams' passion for lens flares, too, because there's a lens flare in every shot in this movie. And I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the movie, wanted to blind you because of all the lights that were going on.
I still forgot about people who had epilepsy, like epileptic seizures. I was like, why didn't they have a warning in this movie? Because, yes, for like the first 3 minutes, somebody could have a seizure.
Yeah, it's just blinding you of what. But anyway, I mean, there's nothing's brought to this movie that made it like better, like that made it anything that distinguished it at all from the. Besides the fact they don't go to Mars and they just like stay in London and Australia, it's just nothing about this movie feels like feels like they're bringing anything original to the table, and it's really irritating because I think it's a good premise for a movie. I think it's a good idea that you could run with to remake, and they just failed on almost every level. I didn't like the action that much. I mean, I'll give it credit for not being in 3D and being coherent, but the only action scene I really liked was the one involving the elevator, kind of up and down and sideways.
I found that to be incredibly confusing.
I didn't find that.
Like, how can elevators go laterally and then vertically?
Well, apparently you forgot about Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, because those elevators go all kinds
of... That's right, the glass elevator.
But, I mean, that was the one that seemed like an original idea in terms of just having things going on. But, okay, so here's another thing. The original Total Recall, which I like a lot, actually, I consider that like a top three Arnold movie, that the cast of that movie is fairly racially diverse, and that's something I admired about that one, let alone Paul Verhoeven's over-the-top style mixed with a movie that has ideas and, you know, an energy to it. This one features an all-white cast, save for what, John Cho and
Buddy Harry.
Buddy Harry, Joaquin Woodbine, and you know, save for those two characters and the Asian bartender whose name is Murray, which maybe
he's Irish.
Adding to all of this, everyone speaks an American accent.
I thought about that too.
Despite
being in the Federation of Britain.
England or Australia are the only places that exist, and everyone has American.
That's why my question in the beginning was like, would you rather be Asian in Australia? Because apparently Australia has turned into giant Chinatown, and everyone just like rides gondolas and has parasails.
There's like three English actors in this movie, and they all have American accents.
What, even Bill Nye?
Yeah. Even Bill Nye. That was the part. Because I'm like, Bill Nye's coming in, and I'm thinking, all right, at least Bill Nye's here. He'll add some kind of energy to this movie. It's like, Quaid, we have to get back to the... Like, what is happening? Why is he speaking? Oh, my God. I don't understand why this is going on. I like the idea of having Colin Farrell in this movie. That seemed like a cool idea. But, no, he just kind of... He didn't do anything in this movie.
I thought he was okay in it, actually.
Compared to something like Fright Night or
I think that you brought this up before, which is like when he uses his accent in films, they're better films generally, and I would agree with that because I very much like In Bruges, but I thought he was okay compared to the other people in this film.
I would say the one that seems to be having like some kind of fun in this movie. Everyone else is kind of
the director.
Even Bryan Cranston, who like has a ridiculous rig and is just evil Cohagen in this movie, he's just kind of like, I'm here, whatever.
Colin Farrell did fine with what he was given. The movie is just lazy. They decided to make a remake of a film that they thought would be cool to remake. It's just not. It's not good. That's the problem. There's a lot of cool ideas, which kind of makes me more upset with it. Because there's certain things here. I'm like, that's a cool idea. Okay, go ruin that. That's fine. Let's move on to the next good idea that you're gonna have. Oh, you're gonna ruin that too. I thought the Oh, that phone in the hand?
That was kind of cool idea.
Oh,
he made you look like a fool.
He'd had major tactical training, sir. I wasn't made aware of that.
How the hell did he get activated?
An agent in place told me he'd gone to recall. I sent a team in, but his memory implant had been blown before they could get to him. He's clearly regaining some memory fragments. I'm 15 minutes behind him.
No lethal force. I want him alive. Do you understand?
Who the hell is this guy, sir?
Take me off display.
That's not anywhere cool as having a tracer they have to pull out.
Yes, that's true,
now,
too.
You haven't seen Total Recall.
Yeah, I also haven't seen the first Total Recall. I'm only watching this movie, and I'm like, that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, the whole thing's cool, though. Especially putting it up to, like, any glass pane and then having visual voice calls, I guess. But to pick up,
That's kind of cool.
Let's go back. Hold on. Let's go back to phone in the hand. Why is that cool? How does that make things interesting? That's like just like when you have a phone. Yeah, that makes texting really hard. That's what that does. Like,
well, no, it's just one less thing for you to carry around, Aaron.
Photos with your nails.
But then you put your hand to your phone. Guess what? That entire your hand to the glass. Guess what? That's an entire tablet.
I wouldn't want to want to dick dial somebody.
Aaron, I'm a left-hander, so I don't know about that. That would be a self-imposed punishment. Okay, Maybe it can go on airplane mode or something. I don't know. It's something different. Stop crapping all over this movie.
Well, no,
the director does it enough.
Because the things that feel like different or like that like kind of diverge from the original one just feel like ideas that are like less interesting than what goes on in the original one to me. I mean, you haven't seen the original one, but every time they went like a different direction from like what they did in the and I don't even want to compare it to the original one, but it just, the movie The movie like did not give me an option. It wanted me to compare it to not only the first Total Recall, but every other sci-fi movie that this movie cribs from.
Yeah.
It's just annoying.
I did compare it to the other sci-fi movies, but I really didn't compare it to the original Total Recall, mostly because, again, they do those callbacks to the original, but things like they just don't...
Which makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they have
the three-breasted woman comes up out of nowhere and just says...
Oh, yeah. So
they, like, in the original Total Recall, it's a mutant. There's a perfectly good reason why she has three children. This
one eye, and then, like, a mother with, like, whatever else. And then the three-breasted person makes sense. And also, the other one is, like, when he's going through the scanner, and then there's, like, this red-headed woman in front of him, you kind of get a sense that they're recalling something from the original, but then they just go nowhere with it. So, again, this film has all these, you know, nice little, hey, here's a little snapshot from the original, but we're not going to do anything with it. We're just hoping that you guys are pleased that we put these in. And there's no point for you to put those in if you want to just make an entire film and not have anything to do with Mars.
So here's my question now to Alan, because Alan has not seen the original. The when you reached the end of this film, did you have any question of whether or not Quaid was, if it was real, what was happening to him? Did you have like an answer to that question?
Well, no, I figured it was real.
Okay, see, now here's my biggest problem with the movie. There's no ambiguity to it. One of the best facts about Total Recall, one of the best like concepts behind Total Recall is it could be either Quaid is having like he's going through all this for real, or he's in recall the whole time, and it's like it's all of this is part of his journey through recall, like it's all a fake memory that he's having. That's not present in this movie at all. There's no ambiguity to it. It just feels like a straight chase thriller with no like there's no question that he's not going through this. It doesn't feel like there's an ambiguity to how this movie plays out, as opposed to the original Total Recall, which it could be Arnold either going through like all these crazy things for real, or he could just be at recall the whole time, sitting in a chair, experiencing these memories or like these fake memories that have been implanted into him, and that just kills this movie for me completely. Like that takes away one of the best things about this concept.
So it's actually like you like that part in the original where Arnold has a video playback and it's like you're not you, you're me kind of thing, right? Where it's like you're really not sure if he's actually there or not.
You don't know who to believe. Right. You don't know what to trust. You have a scene where he like interacts with somebody that claims to be from a recall agent telling him that he's going through something and needs to like do something in order to stop this. And this, you have his best friend Harry comes up. And is like, you're still a recall man. But like, I don't believe that at all. It always feels real. It never feels like there's a chance that he could actually be experiencing the recall dream going on.
Yeah.
Well, and even in Verhoeven's film, when it ends, it fades to white instead of black.
Yeah, so you can
interpret that like as him waking up.
You can interpret it either way. Yeah, it works very well. There's a good way to explain both versions of what could be happening to Arnold Schwarzenegger in the original Total Recall. This one feels really haphazard. It feels like you're supposed to. It feels a lot like you're supposed to assume a lot of the knowledge based on what you know about the original film, as opposed to kind of explaining the plot to you. Like I could, if I was.
I think that if you had like some fairly loose knowledge, I think you'd be able to skate by too.
Yeah, but I mean, you shouldn't even have to have fairly loose knowledge. You should be able to watch this movie for the first time and understand what's going on.
But Alan
right?
said he had no problem understanding it.
Did you?
I have no problem understanding it. It wasn't convoluted or anything to me.
I wouldn't say it's convoluted, but I think it just brushed. I mean, Alan, you know the plot of Total Recall before you were going into it, though, right?
Very vaguely. Honestly, not really. Okay. Kind of like. I know there's three-titted women, and I know Arnold was like, I want a divorce, and. So the only thing that to me was a callback was him fighting with his wife.
He kills his buddy and says, "Screw you."
I was trying to distance myself from like knowing the original and just thinking of like how this movie's playing out, and it just seems like it brushes past so many things that feel like they should be important. Like John Cho explaining the recall experience, it feels like if I didn't know what it was already, I'd have like no idea what's going on right now. I'd be like, okay, he's gonna experience some kind of dream and something's going on, but I don't understand why that is important or how that should like factor in later on. It just it feels like it brushes past things because you already you're supposed to already know them, but you should feel
like because I got the sense like every time that they stopped, somebody had to explain everything that was going on, and that's the reason why they had to stop the action sequences, is because Jessica Biel has to explain everything or Colin Farrell. Has to.
I feel like that stuff I feel like true, but I feel like just kind of the initial setup was like just was kind of brushed past it, and like even like I still don't even know what Cohagen's plan was. I don't even know what was going on.
I agree.
I know exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah, he wanted it. He wanted.
I mean, it's a stupid plan, wanted but I know
robots
he wanted.
To do. So, by the way, robots are useless in this movie. Like, I hate, like, these are, like, the least interesting robots that I've seen.
I think he stole the plans from the Trade Federation.
Yeah, exactly. no, but I mean, even to back to the point of, like, Bill Nye, I mean, he's got a resistance setup. And again, there's no further discussion about that, or there's no further evolution of that besides just being a plot point to get the story into the final setup. And I was kind of bummed out about that because it would have been interesting to see, okay, well, you know, here you go, Dan, or here you go, Quaid. Here's the information that you're looking for. And there's a baby in my chest, but there's no baby in his chest.
Yeah, there's no Quaido, and that was irritating. this movie made hover cars boring also. I wanted to see a cool hover car chase, and I didn't get that. I didn't like the hover car chase. Then.
It was just a regular heist. It was like a getaway, like... Yeah. The movie The Getaway Chase, but just with a hover car. It wasn't that interesting.
I agree, yeah. It wasn't, I didn't like that car chase.
How is the character of Quaid portrayed before he enters Recall?
He's like a loser, but he's like a hard worker.
He sounds ungrateful. Yeah, he's married to Kate Beckinsale. He has a pretty good job working up in Britain.
Like, the thing that kept freaking me out was, okay, he's only been... the secret agent. He's only been like subdued for like 6 weeks, but then like told his superior, "I've been busting my butt this past quarter." I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have to be in the know on his situation if like anything hells up and what this concept of his dream is.
And if that many people are in the know, why would they let him touch anything important like the robots? And why would they let him talk to random people, like training that random new guy? Why would they even do that?
Yeah.
Plus that random new guy. What was his point? I mean, because that
trigger... He had to give him a recall.
The trigger to go to Recall was, like, a pretty large thing, because later it comes up, well, who told him to go to Recall? Because it actually just triggered everything.
One last thing, Doc. As a matter of full disclosure, none of the secret life elements you chose can actually be true. It would cause irreparable conflict and confusion. That's how brains get blown.
Don't worry. I don't have any secrets.
Get ready to save the world. Happy trails, man.
Wait.
What? What is it? What's wrong?
Yank that needle out before it takes.
Why are you here? Whoa, whoa. Federal police! On your feet, now!
This is a mistake. I'm nobody.
Was he, in fact, part of the resistance? I don't know, because they never touch upon it again. He actually has a name. His name is, like, Merrick or something like that. And then he just...
Yeah, funny thing is, he was, like, fifth listed from the credits.
Yeah. So again, there's largely no consequence, or I guess no explanation follow up of some of these characters, which really bugged me a lot.
To get back to Farrell too, because I think he does well with what he's given, but I don't like what they gave him. Like it's just his character. Like he's not. He just reacts to things like, oh my god, really? But like that's like his reaction. He's just kind of aware of things going on and scenes around him. But like the idea of him
loud
like,
noises
when he suddenly like you know kills 10 people in a room. It's like no remorse there. Like he doesn't really see. Like there's no reflection of like, oh my god, I just did that. Like there's a brief like bit of that, but there's no like, oh my god, I'm killing people for the first time, or like, oh, I'm a secret agent. That seems like that'd be way more exciting to me, but I don't really seem to have that reaction. There's just it's not given things to do.
His memory's been firewalled, man.
He just becomes kind of bland action guy throughout this thing.
Bland action hero. The other thing I had a problem with is like Recall. They've advertised on buses, on trains, and then you have to go to like the red light district to get to Recall.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a legit place? Nobody would go here.
You'd have to, you have to go through the fall, so 17 minutes, and you have to walk over, like, the Shanghai bridges over the water, then you have to consult with three-breasted women, and then you have to walk up the Stairway to Heaven, I was like, yeah, one of those. Go in, and talk to John Cho.
Honestly, the first half of that movie reminded me of that Dreamcast game, Shenmue.
There's a callback. That's in the show notes.
Wait, Aaron, what, I mean, there was a black robot. What about that?
What did they, yeah, that was the leader of robots? Is that what that was? Like, these robots were so interesting.
You know what bummed me out about that black robot? Is like, he's supposed to be, like, the superior robot, but why could Colin Farrell throw him? And also, how could he punch him so that it actually knocks him back? And I was really bummed out because I was thinking to myself, that robot would crush him in a second. All these questions.
Like, the fact that he was fist fighting a robot made me laugh.
Yeah, he chose to fight the robot, too.
I think Len Wiseman was like, oh, so Hugh Jackman's going to pretend to be a robot and fight a robot? I'll one-up you.
Now, the fight I want to see is between, like, Len Wiseman and Zack Snyder, just because they're both, like, handsome directors that, you know, do little. I guess Zack Snyder would probably, you know, win that one just because he can slow-mo and ramp up.
No, he'll be like, look at how much money my movies have made.
He's like, well, look at my hot wife, right?
Yeah, and her butt on the screen at least.
Again, yeah, Beckinsale, there's a scene early on where, like, Colin Farrell wakes up in a cold sweat from his, you know, terrible dream, and then Beckinsale gets up, and she looks like Kate Beckinsale. It's no makeup implied. She's like, when she's waking up in the middle of the night, it's like, oh, yeah, I look this good all the time. And then she gets up and goes to work. Like, yeah. She puts on her clothes and goes to work.
Well, what you didn't see right before that is the bridesmaid scene where she always gets up secretly, puts on the makeup, then sticks back in bed.
And then John Hamm is there to tell her to get the fuck out.
Jess Biel does a little when she's around.
Yeah, and like what you had said earlier, you know, the question of, I guess she's a friend? You know, it's like, yeah, well, I guess she's a love interest, yes, but what else? You know, what part was there? What was her role?
Wasn't she like a lieutenant to Methuselah or whatever his name was?
Yeah, that's what his name. It was something like that, right?
By
the way, despite the fact that the colony is like this, you know, the poor part of the world or whatever, and the resistance should be like, you know, people living on dire straits, everyone looked good in this movie. Everyone seemed fine.
Pretty healthy.
Everyone seemed healthy. They had nice teeth. They're all wearing clothes. Well,
here's one of my big things with it. The fact that the part of Britain is okay, but then they go, at some point, they go off-site to the no zone, which I just think is stupid.
The no zone.
But, like, that's like what you tell a kid when they're like, don't let a teacher touch you there. Like, they went, like, if honestly, it felt like they drove 20 minutes.
Yeah.
To, like, Wales instead of London. But as they're going back and forth, there's, like, no dome covering London. Like, how did half that island get completely radiated, but then the other half is fine?
They have giant fans.
And then how were they able to man all the natural resources to build the fall?
Yeah, that
the
too.
Fall. Can we talk more about the fall? So let me to reiterate, the fall is a giant tunnel that goes between the colony and Britain. So it's this hole that goes through the entire Earth. And it has a high-speed rail lift system where, like, you know, I guess a couple hundred people kind of get in there and, you know, transport back and forth. It only takes 17 minutes. When you get to the Earth's core, of course, the gravity shifts. So you're like, whoa, the gravity's shifting, and I'm zero G all of a sudden. But then, you continue on your trip. I love that this was able to be created, where they're like giant drills or something within – and it's only 2084. So it only takes us 70 years to drill through the entire Earth and build this system. Less than that, I guess, because the chemical warfare happened sometime later on.
Well, if Shredder and the Foot Clan could do it, then I guess we could do it too.
Well, here's the thing. You know this movie's bad when it makes the core look feasible.
Good call. But about that core, too, it's like, you know, you're drilling through the Earth, through magma, and then also,
liquid hot magma.
Yeah, somehow they were able to build this with the Earth's core in mind.
The other thing I thought of was like, okay, if only the world's population lives in the United Kingdom and in Australia, how many engineers died and how many engineers were able to actually like plan this out? So just being nerdy there is just ridiculous.
Well, it just seems like someone said this and then they kind
like,
of
that's a great idea
around it. And I get the idea that I'm, you know, suspending some kind of disbelief here, but really, there's a giant tunnel that goes from one end of the Earth to the other end of the Earth with a huge rail system.
In 17 minutes.
And I guess this does prove that, you know, when you dig from the U.S. all the way to the other side of the Earth, you get to China, but when you dig through England, you get to Australia. If they did do from U.S. to China, it would make more sense, right? Since, you know, you wouldn't have to turn Australia into Shanghai, you could already go from America to China. And also, I mean, everyone has American accents, so that would make way more sense. But I mean, I'm just nitpicking the logic of the universe that was created for this movie now. So
they wanted to come out. They wanted to take place in London because it was going to be out the same time the London Olympics were on.
Obviously.
the way that rover landed today.
Yeah, we ditched the Mars rover. We ditched Mars because the rover was coming, but we went to London because the Olympics were happening.
God, the movie was bad.
Anything else to say about Total Recall?
Like, what was I going to say? Why did they build it?
They needed the workers from Australia.
Because clearly flying from one fine. Well, no, but flying is fine. Like, why couldn't the workers, I don't know. Why couldn't
because
the workers
it only,
live in a tent?
It only takes 17 minutes to go through the Earth, Alan. It takes a whole day or something to fly across the Earth.
Australia to the UK.
17 minutes, Alan. 17.
The other question
did they say 17
is,
minutes?
Why would Bryan Cranston, after winning, decide to finish things off himself? Why didn't he just go to, a tower somewhere and just have the robots do the rest?
I don't know what Bryan Cranston was doing in this movie. I feel really bad for Bryan Cranston because he keeps getting the short. He's had more bad movies than good movies. I mean, for every Drive, he has Red Tails and Total Recall. It's annoying to me.
Let him make his money while he can.
True that.
I think
at least he wasn't in Battleship.
Or was he?
Cut out.
Yeah, he could have been cut out.
Was he?
Oh, speaking of which, what was this Ethan Hawke thing?
Oh, yeah, okay, apparently Ethan Hawke was in this movie, and there's 20 minutes of the movie cut out itself. But Jordan, what do you have to say about that?
Oh, yeah. So I read that Ethan Hawke was supposed to play the Quaid character as well, but, when he went through the recall or something, with his mind being mixed up, his appearance was altered as well to further distance him from his past life, I suppose. But they cut Ethan Hawke out and just replaced, reshot his scenes with Colin Farrell. So, I mean, I haven't seen the movie, so I'm not sure how this would fit in, but maybe that makes sense to you guys, perhaps. And there's something the guy was saying that since what's his name, Hauser?
Yeah.
Is the most wanted man on Earth, which would make more sense with Ethan Hawke playing the role because everyone's looking for him. But if he was played by somebody else, it would make sense why nobody is pointing fingers saying oh, you're the guy that everyone's looking for.
No, because in the movie, he had a goatee when he was Hauser, and he shaved it. He's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
I'm dead serious.
It's the classic.
That's the whole thing with Ethan Hawke, and he had a good amount of screen time, supposedly.
Yeah, 20 minutes is not just a cameo.
It certainly felt like there was stuff chopped out of this movie just because I felt like there was things that would have been unclear to someone that just wasn't familiar with this premise, but that's me. I don't know. Last thing, Harry Gregson-Williams did the score for this movie, which is okay, but it doesn't hold a candle to Jerry Goldsmith's score for the original Total Recall.
Well, he's hit or miss, Harry Gregson.
These days he is. Earlier, I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've sufficiently talked about Total Recall. Let's get to our rating then. Each week on Out Now, Fair and A, we try to rate movies based on when you should go and see them, and we have a scale that goes from IMAX to theater to dollar theater, Netflix, HBO, TV, or just kind of forget about it. A, where would you put Total Recall on that
just
scale?
Just regular TV.
Alan?
TV.
Yeah.
IMAX.
Shut up. I was right there with you. TV is where I put HD, because it looks expensive, like we've said. By the way, this movie costs $200 million.
Are you serious?
Why? Wow. Yeah. I don't understand.
Well, I mean, they had some cool world building scenes, but I mean.
Yeah, kind of.
Just didn't do anything with it.
Because we love the fall so much. We love that idea. We love seeing faceless robots. I love that there's only robots in this movie just because you didn't want to have excessive kill counts since Colin Farrell's going to be blasting fools throughout the movie. So it's we'll put robots in so we don't have to worry about extreme violence like the original.
Oh, actually, here's the last question I have. For PG-13 films, how many S-bombs can you have and how many F-bombs can you have? Because there was a lot of swearing in this movie.
One F-bomb.
S-bombs don't matter?
Really?
No, they never mattered. No. But F-bombs, you can have the
okay.
one.
Okay.
And they have their.
And you can't have it pertain to sex.
Yeah, you have to have it just. Oh. Yeah, you can't have it. Yeah, exactly. You can't use it as a verb.
Why is there an F bomb in here?
Yeah, there's one. long if you see the full three-breasted woman, which...
And if you have three, you can show it in PG-13.
Yeah, if you have three boobs, yeah. Okay.
Two is
it's only an odd number of boobs, I think, would work for Titanic and Total Recall. You can have an odd number of boobs in your movie. If you have even numbers, obviously that's an R rating. Obviously.
This is PG-13. Those guys. This is rated R. Those guys.
Good? Yes, good sir. In. That was good.
What do you say? It's better or worse than Battleship?
I'd watch this again.
I'd agree with that.
I don't know.
Although I do like friend of the show, Tim Riggins.
Yeah, I'd watch neither of these movies. That's really my choice. If I had to choose...
I'd want to watch Tim Riggins watch Total Recall.
There you go.
So pretty much, you can get the Verhoeven version on Blu-ray for $10. Just go buy that.
Which has an amazing Blu-ray transfer, the new version of Blu-ray that just came out. By the way,
is the message I'm getting. Yeah, that's the message I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah. Watch Arnold Schwarzenegger's Total Recall. There you go. Okay, let's move on. Let's get to movie callback.
Callback.
Which is where we discuss a couple of the films that relate to the main feature of the week. I think I've gone over many already, but Abe, any come to mind?
I think that we've gone over a lot, but basically any post-apocalyptic world in which ever made, such as The Matrix, Minority Report, Blade Runner, Equilibrium, Tron, and Star Wars, Clone Wars, which is...
I should note that Kurt Wimmer wrote the screenplay for Total Recall. He directed Equilibrium.
Oh, really? Huh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got that sense of those two parallels.
Alan?
Well, other than like the Star Wars reference and the core, when they were walking onto Methuselah's specific
headquarters. Matthias is his name.
Methuselah.
Okay.
No, so Matthias, his I kept thinking of in their underground lair. It's like underground train station headquarters. Those make my. I honestly kept thinking of other movies that made me feel better than this one.
Yeah, I had the Bourne Identity came to mind a lot. Just
oh yeah, thought like about that too.
Yeah, and Firefly was a big one just because of the whole let's have giant Asian influences throughout this. Movie as well in Australia for whatever.
Oh, Armageddon, when they're going through the colony and it's like those boats and it's all Asian-y. I was like, oh, it's like Hong Kong from Armageddon.
That's right. Before it gets hit by a giant meteor.
But this one will be a thud, like the movie.
Well, speaking of thuds, let's get to the box office. Each week we try to go over the totals for the week and try to find out if our previous predictions were anywhere near. Abe, do you remember what you predicted last week for the box office?
I said third with a healthy 20.
You did. And let's see. Christian Spicer said third place of $25 million. I said second place of $27 million. And weekend totals, we had Total Recall came in second place of $26 million. So right in between with that. But it's in second place, though. So
I think you win.
Christian didn't call, well, I went over, but Christian didn't call the right spot. So kind of a weird tie. But yeah, The Dark Knight Rises came in first place again, $36 million. Then Total Recall. Then Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, which I probably would have preferred to see as opposed to the recall. What else? The Watch, Ted, Step Up, Amazing Spider-Man, Brave, Magic Mike. Magic Mike makes just have to keep pointing this out. Magic Mike's made a ton of money.
Yeah. On a shoestring budget as well. It's like $7 million.
One of the biggest.
How much did it make?
It made like $1 million this weekend. It's like number 10, but it's made $110 million. Nice. Domestically on a $7 million budget. So, yeah, Channing Tatum wins the world.
the producer doesn't get to remake the Starship Troopers movie.
Yeah, right? But I'm sure we're all looking forward to the RoboCop remake at this rate, too, right? Yeah. Why are all Paul Verhoeven's movies being remade? He's like, what's happening? Okay. So that's box office. Let's get away from Total Recall for a while. Because I think we
have time for some games.
It's a long jingle.
It's a long one. All right.
As you said.
Yep. Okay, I have a game, and it's a new game, and it's a game I made up explicitly for this podcast episode. It is called Get Your Ass to Mars.
Get Your Ass to Mars.
I was really hoping for some kind of like, yay!
Yay!
Get Your Ass to Mars is a game where I have a whole bunch of movies that are all related to Mars, and I'm going to read the kind of basic premise of that movie, and you have to tell me what that movie is.
Okay.
Sounds very easy, good. Right?
I think I only know two of them.
Well, you'll get more than two, perhaps. And I'm gonna have to kind of change some or kind of alter some of these descriptions so it doesn't give it away too easily. But let's just start this up, and you know, whoever says the correct title first obviously gets the point for that round. So just gotta keep, because all these points matter. So here we go. I'm gonna read the first one right now. A construction worker who travels to Mars to look for clues when he discovers that his memory has been erased.
Total Recall.
Yes.
It is Total Recall. Correct.
Oh.
Did you hear
say
this?
Affirmative?
I didn't say it. You got it. Hold on.
Affirmative.
Yeah, that one.
It is.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Voyagers are dispatched to Mars when mankind's effort to colonize the planet are disrupted.
Affirmative.
Jordan got it. Red Planet. Okay, here's the next one. Some of these are a little more obscure than others, just to make sense. Okay. This sci-fi flick finds an astronaut stranded on a foreign planet where he discovers that an alien race is using humans as slaves.
John Robinson on Mars, or John...
You're very close.
I have it on Criterion.
Robinson Crusoe?
Yeah.
Affirmative.
Damn it.
Very good at the game.
Alan gets the point. There we go. Okay. Who said Total Recall first? Alan, you did?
Yeah, I did.
So 2-1. 2-0. Okay, here we go. Here's the next one. As Earth is invaded by alien tripod fighting machines, one family fights
Mars Attacks. Attacks.
No deal.
Oh, War of the Worlds?
Yes, it's War
tripod.
Of the Worlds. Tripod. Yeah, keyword there. Okay, it's our now, new rule. New rule. If you've answered, you can't answer
what?
Again.
What?
Yeah, Abe.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Okay, here we go. Here's the next one. When the first manned mission to Mars meets with a catastrophic and mysterious disaster, a rescue mission is launched to investigate the tragedy and bring back any
survivors. Ghost of Mars.
Mission to Mars?
Doom.
No deal.
Oh, damn it. I know.
Red Planet.
We already did Red Planet. The answer was Mission to Mars.
That's what I said.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear that at all. I heard Ghost of Mars from both of you.
I didn't think
Alan said Mission.
I thought I heard it twice. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. A Martian...
Check the tape.
A Martian lands on... Well, we'll know when we hear the recording back, I guess. A Martian lands on Earth and makes friends with the...
K-Pax.
No deal.
Jazz
or
tomorrow.
No deal.
I don't know.
My favorite Martian.
Should have known.
Here's the next one. A prisoner stranded on the terraform Mars and a police officer...
Ghost of Mars.
Affirmative.
That is John Carpenter's Ghost of Mars, correct.
That's you, Alan, number two.
They battle ghosts in order to retrieve a prisoner from
the
rest of it.
That's a close one.
Okay, here we go. Here's the next one. This 1967 action flick traces the path of two astronauts who battle mysterious forces while on an exploratory mission. This one's very obscure.
American Pie.
No deal.
Wait, when was it made?
1967.
I have no idea.
The answer is Mission Mars. Here's the next one. This action flick has a Marine and his crew dispatched to Mars to defend a space undersea is Doom.
Affirmative.
Good job, Abe. Way to know your
Rob. Yeah, movies. I love first person.
Way to know your Carl Urban movies. Here we go. Here's the next one. Oh, this might be the best one, or one of them. Randy Quaid is a songwriter who suddenly summons oodles of Martians to Earth, all of them played by comedians of the era. They proceed to piss people off.
I think Alan got it.
Oh my
Alan,
god.
Did you say something?
I know this. Martians.
Oh, he has it.
Oh my god. It's so simple, too. It's such a simple title.
I like how you know these.
I know the author of the sci fi novel it's based on. Isn't like Martians? Martians go home.
It's Martians go home. Yes.
Good job.
It's such an easy title.
Alan, were you gonna say Martians go home?
Yeah.
Martians.
I think it would have been Alan.
Gotta be quick, guys. After they met Frankenstein, the Invisible Man, and Captain
Costello go to Mars.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Jordan has clearly run away with this game.
Those are Mars movies. Yeah. I'm really happy for him. Mm-hmm. I still have like 10 more of those. There we go.
Oh, we're going.
A science fiction writer, recently widowed, considers whether to adopt a hyper-imaginative 6-year-old abandoned boy who says he's really from Mars.
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah. Doesn't have John Cusack?
It does have John Cusack.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my god.
It's that movie with the thing.
And Martian is in the title, I think.
I'm a cop, you idiot.
Martian Child. Martian Child.
It is the Martian.
Clever. I see what you did there.
I was killing time by throwing in Arnold quotes. Okay, here we go. This early low-budget effort from movie maker Gerald Moore stars Moore as a colonel who recounts the strange creatures he battled on Mars once he's safely back on Earth.
Rambo.
You cut out. Who was the filmmaker?
Gerald Moore.
Gerald?
Gerald Moore. Or Gerald. It's an old one.
Wait a minute.
It just says early. I don't know what it was like.
How is it obscure?
It's 1959 is when it was made.
No deal.
It is The Angry Red Planet. That's the name of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, here we go. Here's another one. Transplanted to Mars, a vet discovers a lush planet inhabited by 12-foot-tall barbarians. Finding himself a prisoner of this creature, he escapes only to encounter a princess who is in desperate need of a savior.
John Carter of Mars.
Affirmative.
It is John Carter. Thought that'd be easy. Okay.
I was going to say how Sully got a groove back.
Shut up.
Thank you, Jordan. Okay, here we go. This one might be easy. They all have to do with Mars, remember. In an alternate 1985 where former superheroes exist, the murder of a colleague sends an active vigilante onto his own sprawling investigation.
Watchmen.
It is Watchmen, correct. Here we go. The Earth is invaded by Martians with irresistible weapons and a cruel sense of humor.
Mars Attacks?
It is Mars Attacks.
I thought we already did that.
No, we didn't.
No, I said it earlier, but yeah. it was War of the Worlds.
Okay, yeah.
Here we go. A young boy named Milo gains a deeper appreciation for his mom after Martians
come to Earth to take him away.
I think Mars... Abe's nailed it. Mars needs MILFs. I heard you. Here we go.
This is a child-friendly show.
This cultish 1997 comedy stars a person as a bumbling software developer.
Rocketman.
It is Rocketman.
Yes.
Okay, last two.
I love that movie.
Last two here.
He farts.
This 1964 B-movie oddity from director Nicholas Webster chronicles the efforts of a group of Martians to bring Santa Claus to their planet.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
I love that movie.
Okay, last one. This underwhelming sequel based on the book sequel has our heroes zooming off to, of all places, Mars.
Time for it.
No deal.
It's a sequel. It's an animated sequel. I'll give you that.
When was it made?
I didn't say. If I had to guess, I'd say late 90s.
An anime movie where they go to Mars.
It's a sequel.
Whelming sequel. I believe it's straight to video. There was a Pixar movie that came out this year that has a word in its title that's similar to the movie in this title.
Mars Story.
A Pixar movie.
Brave Mars.
You have the first and last word of the movie.
Oh, Aaron, you are clever.
I heard it, Jordan.
You are clever.
Jordan, did you say it?
Brave little toaster goes to Mars.
See, and I was trying to be dramatic.
You shouldn't have been dramatic. It's about speed. It's not about...
Is that really the sequel to Brave Little Toaster?
Yeah.
Holy crap! The living
Brave Little Toaster goes to Mars. Yep. And that's how you play Get Your Ass to Mars.
When you said the Pixar movie with the title, I thought even like that year there was a Pixar movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, you still got it, Jordan, so.
Thank you.
Did anyone keep track of their points?
No, your Mars movies.
I love Brave Little Toaster Goes to Mars.
No, you don't.
It's really good. It's fantastic.
Okay, let's play some ABCs of movies because I like being cool. Games, too. All right. ABCs of movies, where for this game, we, of course, name movies that correspond to the letter that we are on. So we will, as always, go in alphabetical order, so it'll go Aaron, then Abe, then Alan, then Jordan. We all good on this? We ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna start. A Bronx Tale.
Braveheart.
The Cat's Meow.
Ooh.
Doom.
That's, hold on, there's a The Cat's Meow. Can't use
that. Yeah, but you never count The when you alphabetize it.
We
fine. Cars.
Okay.
Really?
We do, yeah, we count the The's. I'll let you slide on this one.
All right.
Jordan's on D.
Yeah, I said Doom.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Hold on. Evil Dead 2.
for Finding Forrester.
Gone Baby Gone.
Fletch.
Wait, Fletch? That's not F. F doesn't come after G.
Wait,
you're on H.
What did he say?
You're an H, Dougie.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Hellraiser.
Igby Goes Down. There's a call. Jeez.
Jumanji.
California.
Lake Placid.
Mr. Mom.
Night of the Living Dead.
Oh.
Clever.
Good one.
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean what?
The Curse of the Black Pearl.
What am I
Q.
on? Q. Q? Q? Quantum of Solace. You're
something. Raising Arizona.
Seven.
The Terminator.
I like what you did there.
Yuli's Gold.
V for Vendetta.
Waterworld.
Xanadu.
No, you. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You've got Nail.
Zodiac, or is it the Zodiac?
Zodiac. Yeah. Back to A. Long game.
This is me.
Yep.
Animal Kingdom.
Breast men.
David Schwimmer, classic.
The David Schwimmer.
And Chris Cooper. Don't forget Chris Cooper.
God. Breast men. Gotta put that in the show notes now, right? Cop Out.
Edma.
Win a Kevin Smith it there.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Fletch.
Funny how that worked out.
What are we on? FGG Ghost Dad.
Hitch.
Inception.
Jack.
Kingdom Come.
I can't believe this is happening to me on L.
You're out!
No!
So do I have to come up with L or
you're
M?
Still on L.
I am L? Oh, I wasn't ready. Why is this happening?
I know! Right?
No, wait.
No, you're out. If you're questioning why is happening to you, that means you're taking too long.
No, no, I have a movie.
Good job for you. Jordan, you're up.
Lion in Winter.
Wow. Okay. Men in Black 2. It's just you and me.
It's my turn. Night Watch.
You're out.
I have the open. I was like, no, it can't be. Poetic
Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like
mm-hmm.
Jordan
wow, game. Jordan is just like sweeping all the games this week.
That's like a sweep games. Okay, let's move on to what we're going to talk about next week. Next week we have the Bourne Legacy comes out next week.
Not the campaign? Oh.
The campaign comes out too, but we're going to talk about the Bourne Legacy.
Oh.
And I'm looking forward to the Bourne Legacy. Just to set this up, I guess, for the sake of box office, of course these Bourne movies have done quite well. That's why, you know, there are four of them. The first Bourne movie, Bourne Identity, opened to $27 million. Supremacy opened to $52 million. And Ultimatum opened to $69 million. So now we have, you know, the Bourne Legacy. New star, no Matt Damon, but still part of the franchise. What do you guys think it's going to do next week? Jordan?
I'll go...
You're out.
No. I'm going to say second place with 20? No. Okay, no, first place with 30.
Alan?
First place, 34.
Oh, screw you.
I like your confidence. Abe?
Yeah, I'm going to say first place, 32.
Okay, and I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go first place with, like, 42. How about that? Just jump 10
over. Boom.
You're going to lose.
Well, you... people like Hawkeye. Okay, so yeah, that's what we'll, I guess we'll see next week what happens with the Bourne Legacy. And yeah, that's it for this week. That's it for Out Now with Aaron and Abe this week. You can find more of my work at my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for my various Blu-ray reviews, as well as the other movie reviews. You can also find me at Twitter, twitter.com/Aaron's PS3.
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com, two animals, walrusmoose.blogspot.com, and twitter.com/walrusmoose.
Jordan.
You can go to damndirtyblog.blogspot.com. And if you're in Sonoma County, you can come to Petaluma this Thursday and watch me do comedy at the Phoenix Theater.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You doing comedy at the Phoenix Theater on this Thursday?
Yeah.
We're driving up. Come. I'll be in San Francisco next weekend anyway. I'm coming. Alan?
You can find me not doing comedy everywhere. And you can find me on Twitter at MrDVD@twitter.com. Yeah, you know how to do it. MRDVD. And other stuff will happen from there.
That sounds great.
Well, isn't it though? How enthused am I?
You can find all the other episodes of Not Now, the much more coherent ones, at iTunes at hhwlod.com. We can find our show as well as all the other shows on that network, including the Walking Dead TV podcast and Legion of Dudes, of course, which are all shows that talk about games and TV and movies and comics and stuff. It's all fun. Outnow.podomatic.com, you can find most of the newest episodes and some exclusives. Outnowpodcast@gmail.com, feel free to email us, answer us, ask us any other, you know, questions about Mars movies that Jordan may be a fan of, or, you know, compliment Abe on whatever you feel like complimenting him on this week. Or, and, you know, of course, as I announced, we have our Total Recall contest as well, so, you know, email us in about your favorite Philip K. Dick novel or movie adaptation, and you could possibly win a prize. And, of course, Facebook.com/OutNowPodcast and Twitter.com/OutNow_podcast. You can follow our pages there, and, you know, we'll get all the latest episodes and other news and what have you all over the place. Let's see. I think that's about it. Still, the Olympics are still on. I'm still, you know, seeing some good performances from people like Chroma DeJoyo. But until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
'Think it's gonna do next week, Jordan?
I'll go.
You're out.
No.